at the top, the only light aboard the ship came from inside the helm. She half expected to find Jesh there, blabbering some excuse about how the gang got blitzed, and then on a drunken whim decided it just had to do some night fishing, and to go back to sleep, dear. Carly would prefer that, because then this nightmare would be over. Only the helm was as desolate as every other inch of the ship. Carly stepped through the door, pausing to get her bearings in the darkness. The door came slamming back into place, giving her butt a get-moving smack. Carly moved toward the control seat. The console was full of switches and knobs that surrounded the stainless steering wheel on three sides. A diagram of the ship was positioned overhead, where blinking LED lights would alert the captain to issues below. There were controls for the bow thruster, along with dual upper and lower autopilot dials, lower helm air conditioning, as well as radar and GPS. When Carly had been a teenager in Grand Rapids, she was placed behind the controls of a speedboat while she and her friends vacationed on Reed's Lake. She was there for the water skiing, but her then boyfriend, a boy named John, whose last name she couldn't remember, had leapt overboard to escape a mosquito swarm. Carly had intended to lower the throttle, but instead gunned it, clipping John's shoulder with the bow. Nothing serious, 5 stitches, though she hadn't trusted herself then, and that went triple now because Jesh's boat was like a NASA spaceship, comparatively. On top of the marble counter was an old map. Little clusters of unpopulated islands circled in red Sharpie, and then later, she assumed, crossed off in black. One island was only circled in red, and hadn't yet been slashed through in dark felt tip. It made sense at last. Jesh and his partners were searching for something. The light switches were off to the side of the helm, and Carly flipped them one by one. The overheads for the hull, the side lights, the stern light, the mastheads. Slowly but surely, shadows went running off the star time. And from this vantage, Carly's paranoia was reinforced. She was all alone. With one last button left to flick, she hit the underlight, the one that set the surrounding ocean ablaze in deep neon purple. Jesh often sailed into shallows where he'd beg Carly to take a midnight skinny dip. For inspiration. He so badly wanted to glimpse her among marine life, to record her. Beauty among beauty, he'd say. All she could think about was when, and not if, that footage would be leaked to the internet. Carly rose to her haunches and looked down at the water. The underlight's purple glow was muted from behind the window glass. Carly brushed her palm against it, thinking it smudged. It wasn't. She was curious now, and went to the door, stepping outside and squinting over the rail. The relief she dared to feel was short-lived, and the anxiety came roaring back because it didn't like being doubted. The underlight was muted by something. By a spill of dark crimson water that sat atop the surface like oil. In that murk, appendages bobbed like vegetables in soup. Carly stared straight at it until her eyes adjusted. Oh, Jesus! She was looking at a piece of a hand, part of a thigh, and an errant arm that drummed against the hole with a lazy knock. Carly's eyes glossed, and tears began tickling her cheeks. She could only watch that ebbing water, struck by the realization that it was all that remained of the people who had once been passengers aboard the Star Time. The blood thinned at last, ceding ground to the ocean's natural color, while restoring also the vibrant underlight glow. A shadow glided out from beneath the ship, scraping against the steel hull with a deep rumble that Carly felt in her molars. She choked on a silent scream, or maybe it was a gag. It didn't matter, because Carly was already sinking to her knees, trembling so hard she had to curl into a fetal position in order to stop it. She squeezed her eyes shut, regretting every decision that had brought her here. The ship swayed, and all Carly could think about were the severed body parts settling onto the ocean floor somewhere beneath her.